Okay, gentlemen and Cozart, welcome to the week one recap of the One League to Rule Them All. I'm here with the commissioner, and of course, I am the owner of the Big Al and the Dingers. So we're going to start our week one recap with the blistering blowout between the Gaping Starfish and John's Show Me Your TDs. So, Kamish, thoughts on this game?
Yeah, you know, I think we were all expecting John to be one of the stronger showers here in this,
biggest
this league.
Biggest upset of the week.
Absolutely. You got Corbin, the current reigning holder of the Vendo, versus, you know, John, who had the first pick, actually, took the first pick. You know, obviously took Todd Gurley there. And leading into Monday night, you know, it was pretty much wrapped up. I think John still had Gurley and Amari Cooper yet to play, but Corbin was up 90 something on him, so it was over. So an absolute impressive showing by Corbin. You know, when you're holding the Vendo, you don't want that thing in your house for another 12 months. So you got to come out swinging.
Especially when you're trying to get $900 a month on Airbnb.
Yeah, no one's paying $900 a month on an Airbnb with that thing looking at them all weekend. They'd probably pay a little more, actually. So, you know, just a quick breakdown. You know, I mean, Corbin, he didn't have the big score. You know, nobody scored over 30. But, I mean, you're looking at, from the quarterback position, 17, 25, and 22 from his running backs, 27, 22 from his wide receivers. You know, solid flex at 13. Defense didn't blow him up. Kicker was good. Tight end at 9. I mean, just a real solid team there all across the board.
I'm surprised we almost saw every position in double digits already in week one. I am willing to go out on a limb here and say this is Corbin's best showing, but you know, we'll see.
Yeah.
Looking actually across the aisle here at John's team, holy dog shit. I mean, yeah. This thing, he was struggling to get people in double digits, let alone get his people in the positive column. John Boy, New Orleans defense. I'd like to hear the reasoning behind that.
Yeah, we did invite John over to answer for his sins, and he declined. So
better be active in the chat.
he is cowering in shame this week. You know, he left some points on the bench. You know, that's going to happen. But, you know, even if he would have played his best lineup, he might have lost by, maybe he would have lost by 30 instead of, 70. So, you know, just kudos to Corbin. Good showing. So, on to the next.
Yeah, let's look at Tom's win with the Grundle Nashers over the ultimate out-of-towner, Brandon's Honey Badger Don't Care. So what we're looking at here is a 119-61 win. So again, another, I think Clayton alluded to, a week one matchup of a D1 SEC school against like an NAIA team here.
Yeah, the Grundle Nashers really did take Honey Badger to the cleaner there, and you know, Brandon, true to his name, truly does not care. It's apparent. You know, he started Alshon Jeffery. We all knew he wasn't playing. You know, just that right off the bat just set him up for a bad showing there on Thursday night. You know, and just not real impressive either. Again, I'm looking. He only had three players in double digits. You know, high score was Saquon Barkley. You know, 20 points, pretty decent, but, you know, disappointment from pretty much every other position. And Tom, you know, with a rare move to change your name after a victory, I think that's going to be bad karma going forward. You know, changing his name from the Backhole Bandoliers to the Grundle Nashers.
Yeah, respectfully, I disagree. I like the change. It's got a certain theme to it. A lot of the Dookie Shoot there is kind of the theme. And like, can we just point out real quick that even when you include Tom's bench, his top scorers are all New England Patriots. His top three scores: Tom Brady with 21, Rob Gronkowski with 23, and then James White from the bench scoring 14, which is more than anybody else he started, not from the New England Patriots. Holy shit. How is this guy hanging on? I mean, I love it, but I don't understand.
I think we alluded to Tom's love of the Patriots and of the Caucasian race in our previous podcast, but yeah, obviously, you know, Tom has been rocking that Patriots flair for the last couple of years, and you know what can we say? He's the reigning champion, so he must be doing something right. We'll see. You know, bold strategy, Cotton. We'll see if it pays off for him. Yeah. So
if it ain't broke, don't pay attention to football in the off season and fucking roll the dice. All right, let's go on to my personal favorite matchup of the week, which was my dingers taking down Mike's Howie Felter Snatchers. And just look at this big win here.
Yeah, you know, I'm Big Al, and I hit dingers, you know. When it comes to hitting dingers, you know, we think of the long ball, and you've got, you know, the ultimate long ball threat there in Tyreek Hill, your top scorer, 41 points. If I'm not mistaken, he might have been just right behind Alvin Kamara for the most points scored this week. So, you know, basically you really put it to him, especially when you're just going. I know that it doesn't really matter who they match up against across the aisle, but you're looking at your wide receiver two spot, Tyreek Owen, 41 points. Just freaking roster baiting right now.
Oh,
and you look over to what Mike had going in Chris Hogan, very disappointing two spot he put up. So right off the bat, I mean, you got a 39 point differential in your wide receiver two. That's near impossible to come back from.
Can we talk about how great both of our quarterbacks have been historically and how dog shit they were? Stafford with 7 points and 4 picks. Roethlisberger with only 8 points. Did he have 3 picks?
I think he might have had 4 picks as well.
Christ.
I mean, the fact that they both made it into positive figures is impressive. I mean, that was just a poor, poor showing by both of them. I think you're probably both thinking the same thing. Two veteran guys, right. You know, proven veterans that will most likely bounce back, but definitely something you might want to keep an eye on. You know, going forward. And, you know, again, not really a whole lot to say about this matchup. That Tyreek versus Hogan pretty much put it away for you. I don't see anything that that Mike could have done to come back. So
He had some points on his bench.
But yeah, he had James Conner, which, you know, obviously it's kind of tough. Who knew that game going to overtime obviously helped. You know, who knew that they were going to give him that much load? And he had Kenny Stills too, that did pretty good. But your bench, my goodness, I mean, DeSean Jackson. I mean, goodness, nobody really thought that was going to turn into the shootout. You know, there. So yeah, both guys, you know, left some points on the bench. But this again, really no contest.
Smoked it.
Yeah, absolutely. So nice dinger, Big Al.
Yeah, I think that was a good. A good indication of the pitchers versus catchers league distilled into one game, if I do say so myself.
I would have to agree.
So let's go into the big scoring game, both for the winner and loser here, of the Suicide Wanks and the Tongue Punchers. So Mr. Fartbox himself here, Kamish, what happened here?
I'm going to need another drink here. Yeah.
You just got blown out. He's got a lot of high scores. Kamara and McCaffrey, obviously in a PPR league, just that's going to be a potent 1-2 punch, assuming they stay healthy all year long. Like you said, nobody guessed the New Orleans-Tampa Bay game was going to be in a shootout, so that helped Breeze as well. And nobody would have thought that Derrick Henry would have taken a shit on you like that, only 3 points. from a guy that you were talking up quite a bit, like he was the next Chris Johnson.
Well, you know, there seems to be a curse of Alabama running backs in the NFL. Mm-hmm. You know, I know Mark Ingram is pretty decent, but that was a risk. I really had no choice with the Le'Veon Bell situation. We don't really need to get into that. you know, I'm disappointed. My guys did not bring their A game. You know, what do you say about Marquise Goodwin, you know, putting up a zero, getting hurt. Delanie Walker's out for the year. you know, Davante Adams, decent. You know, he could have been the one to catch that 45 or 75 yard touchdown pass, you know, to put the Pack ahead, but of course not. You know, this game, I have mixed emotions, because part of me says, if I was playing five other people, I get the W. Mm-hmm. But you know, going up against the past champion in Ethan, you know, I needed this one to come out strong. And yeah, you know, the Breeze Kamara buzzsaw just really, really did me in. I don't need to get into it here and get back to what Kamara did to me last year with his concussion costing me my playoffs there. But yeah, not a whole lot I could do other than just, you know, hope to bounce back next week. So
and speaking of next week, we are looking at the matchups. It's Thursday night, and the Thursday night game between Cincinnati and Baltimore has not started yet. So we're just kind of perusing the scoreboard, the matchups here. And do you have a matchup that you want to highlight for week two?
Yeah, you know, obviously the week two matchups, you want to see who's going to remain undefeated. You know, so we got two matchups of 1-0 teams. You know, the Suicide Wank versus Big Al yourself. So Ethan versus Sean. That's going to be a good matchup. Looks like the current estimated point spread is only 2 points. You know, so it's going to be a close one, supposedly. And then the other one, you know, we have Clayton coming off of a big win. You know, our featured game of the week. Clayton's coming up against the reigning Vendo champ Corbin. So, you know, if Corbin can get a win here against Clayton and go to 2-0, that's going to be a pretty good start for him, and a good indication that, you know, that Vendo might be making its way out of Bloomington. But, you know, if he loses, he goes right back to 1-1. And, you know, I mean, that's, you know, it's anyone's ball game. So those are the two matchups we got to look at.
I think it's pretty interesting that the four-letter abbreviation, up to four letters that you can have after your team name, I do believe for the supremacy of the catcher's division, we have Dick Sackrider's Pens, obviously Penis, versus Gaping Starfish's Clit. So I think that we got the Penis versus the Clit game for supremacy of the catcher's division. Very interested in that matchup, as well as our two guys from the 08 class of Horwell. So I'm very interested in that matchup as well. We've followed it very closely. Anything else to say about the week two matchups?
Yeah, you know, obviously for my personal matchup here, you know, Hurricane Florence isn't going to be the only thing giving Cozart a pounding this weekend. you know, I plan to bounce back in a big, big way. I'm feeling pretty good, honestly, about the matchups that I have going on. Made a couple adjustments to the lineup. You know, I'm going to throw Josh Gordon in there. I think that New Orleans defense looks suspect. I think that he can really go off. Was excited to pick up George Kittle to replace my decapitated Delanie Walker. So I'm feeling pretty good about that. I don't think that Cozart is even going to have power this weekend to make adjustments. You know, and I'm not worried about Nick Foles. I'm not worried about LeSean McCoy. You know, I don't know who Austin Safarian Jenkins is. You know,
you know, so he's gonna put up 20 on you now.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm bouncing back in a big way this week.
Right. So speaking of adjustments, I'm looking at the transaction list right now from the past week, and I want to introduce this little weekly segment where we look at the best and the worst transactions of the week. So when I'm looking at the league page here, I'm personally, I made a few adjustments. I noticed that John is leading the leagues in transactions. He's made four acquisitions since we've only had one trade, but that was before week one, even with Cozart trying to shore up his QBs, even though he didn't start him. And I think when I'm looking at the best and the worst of these ad drops, I really, really like Corbin's move of getting Quincy Enunwa from the Jets, especially this being a PPR league, and dropping the Bengals defense. You can stream a defense, nobody gives a shit. But Quincy Enunwa, possibly the number one receiver in PPR leagues there. So Corbin with an abnormally shrewd move, I would say. Maybe I don't give him enough credit, but yeah, this could be a strong team. I don't know. Do you have anything that you want to highlight as a good or bad move?
Yeah, I think I'll second that with Corbin. Quincy Enunwa there. He's got a young quarterback. I think they've been working together well in the offseason. So Corbin, again, desperate to get rid of that Vendo trophy. I'm looking at, picking up the DVDAers, that's also you picking up the Bears defense. That's pretty solid there. I think John getting desperate, picking up Philip Lindsay from the Broncos. I mean, he was an undrafted free agent this past year. Yeah, he had a decent game. I mean, hometown boy, he's went to the University of Colorado, all that good stuff. But
could be the next McCaffrey.
Yeah, and I understand.
Could be the next Duke Johnson.
Could be the next nobody. And Kelvin Benjamin, I understand you got to be scared of anything involving the Bills offense.
Yeah.
Just awful. But he might be somebody that they're going to be behind a lot. They're going to be getting blown out a lot, and he might pick up some points in garbage time. So we'll see if that pays off. But yeah, I mean, week one, still kind of too early to tell. I mean, who knows who's going to take off here? I see that Clayton picked up Matt Breida from San Fran. He got a little work. Obviously there's me that picked up George Kittle. I kind of had to because of a broken ankle situation. But yeah, still a little early to tell, but some sly moves going on. Early in the season, people are kind of engaged. We'll see what this looks like, maybe 4 or 5 weeks from now. Might be tumbleweeds on the activity wire. So,
but yeah, keep it up, gentlemen. We are doing pretty well. I would posit real quick before we go into our last segment here. I would say that we need a name for the winner's trophy here, but the Crystal Football is, I think, doing a good job as a carrot. Something to strive for this league with this early engagement. So good on you to the commish, and congratulations to the gentlemen who have already slammed drinks from that beautiful, beautiful Crystal Football. So now going into our last segment, which we have the Vendo Watch 2018. Nobody wants to be mentioned on this. Nobody wants to be close to this, but unfortunately someone's got to win it. Fortunately, someone's going to have that racist atrocity in their home. I can't wait. Ben, do you have any early favorites?
Oh, well, I'll just kind of say this, being a Le'Veon Bell owner and knowing what happened to Corbin last year, taking the David Johnson with his first pick and claiming the Vendo at the end, I have had the nightmares of the Vendo sitting on my mantle. The night sweats, woken up in a panic, just picturing it for myself. So obviously I'm not going to nominate myself for it, but it's a real thing. The Vendo night sweats are hitting me hard. But looking at it, obviously you got your usual suspects. The Cozarts and the Brandons, they were the low scorers. Well, actually Cozart had a decent game. Brandon pulling in 61 points, I don't even know what the heck he's doing. every year Brandon says, oh, I'm going to be involved, I'm going to do this. And then he goes and starts, Alshon Jeffrey first game of the year and takes a goose egg on it. So, I'm going to go ahead and I think I'm going to nominate John. I think he, after the butt whooping that he took at the hands of last year's loser, I don't think there's anyone more worthy to be my first Vendo Watch 2018 than John Detmer himself.
Okay, well, that is a certain hot take for our only really engaged member who played organized football. I am going to, I'll do a hot take too. I am going to take someone who won last week.
Oh!
I am going to go, no matter how much I like the team, no matter how much I dig the name, no matter how much I dig the engagement, I am going to go with our reigning champion, Tom and the Grundle Nashers. I think that was a weak-ass win, and I think he is in a strong division, and he is going to get his ass kicked. And you know what? Brady and Gronk, Brady's getting old. They got to go down sometime. Maybe this is just a bit of me being a Colts homer, but that is my hot take. I will match you on the Hail Mary here of the Vendo Watch 2018. So, guys, you heard it here first. Tom and John on the Vendo Watch. Brandon kind of always going to be in the discussion. I think as an honorary mention. We'll just throw him out there as an honorary
mention. Well, I'll just say this. You know, it would be impressive if Tom could go from Vendo 2016, Champion 2017, to Vendo 2018.
Yeah.
And again, I think it's bad juju changing the name after a win. I wouldn't do it. You know, my personal philosophy is, you know, if you don't go messing with a good thing there. So I wouldn't be surprised if Tom goes on a cold streak here, you know, changing his name from the Backhole Bandoliers.
Yeah. Also, zero acquisitions, zero transactions. I don't know. Makes me a little nervous. But it is a few minutes till kickoff, so we are going to wrap this up and say thanks, everybody. Let us know in the chat who your nominations are for the Vendo Watch 2018, who you thought the best and worst acquisitions were, what your thoughts are of your Week 2 matchups. Let's see some trash talk, guys. Thanks.